Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mirror of Vanity by M. Guida and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Amy Melissa Bentley. Chapter 1. I never imagined my first trip abroad would be a desperate quest to save my father from a shadow dragon's curse. According to the witch, Lisa, we had to gather 7 items to close the portal to hell, each corresponding to a demon of the 7 deadly sins. It was a daunting task, but we'd already managed to secure the phoenix grass for the demon of gluttony and the phoenix feather for the demon of greed. Those battles had tested our limits, but we'd emerged victorious, stronger, and more determined than ever. Now, as we set our sights on Scotland, I couldn't help but feel a mix of apprehension and determination. Somewhere in that mystical land lay the next item we needed to face off against the 3rd big, bad demon in our path. The thought of the challenges ahead sent a shiver down my spine. But I knew with my brother, Damon, and the vampire, Justice, by my side, we'd stop at nothing to complete our mission, save our father, and close the portal to hell. Still, ever since Lisa put us on this path, I'd been haunted by the vision I had in the graveyard. Every night, I was drawn into the same eerie dreamscape. A shadowy figure lurking in the darkness, an abandoned mansion looming in the distance, its attic window beckoning me closer. The dream would then shift, transporting me to a serene lake, its placid surface broken only by the presence of a solitary island. There, an angel statue stood sentinel, its weathered face seeming to hold secrets I couldn't quite grasp. What kept floating around in my dreams was a handheld mirror. It was the key to opening the secrets to heal my dad. If we can find it. Denver International Airport was eerily quiet this early in the morning, the calm before the storm of our impending journey. We had checked our bags with our weapons tucked safely away, magically guarded from airline technology. We had gone through a fast-moving security line and waited at our gate. Justice had a carry-on bag with his and my laptops. Our hearts were heavy with the weight of our mission. A sense of unease washed over me, and I shivered. Justice, a pillar of strength, looked as handsome as ever with his hair pulled up into a man bun and his broad muscles straining against his long-sleeved black t-shirt. He glanced at me, his deep brown eyes flickering with concern. Are you still thinking of that dream? I nodded, my throat tightening as the vivid images of the vision played out in my mind. The magical mirror, our only hope to save our father, lay hidden in a distant Scottish loch, but the path ahead was fraught with danger. The Shadow Dragon's curse had already stolen so much from us. Now, with a vengeful dragon shifter and her demonic allies on our heels, I couldn't shake the feeling that this journey would demand more sacrifices than we'd ever faced. My brother Damon came back with coffee from Starbucks. We were twins, but he looked exactly the opposite of me, with his dark hair, though we shared the same blue eyes. He sat beside me, flashing his gaze over me with the same look of concern as Justice. Still thinking about that vision? He asked as he handed me my non-fat, flat white coffee. I shrugged. Yeah, I swear I've dreamed about it every night since that graveyard. You probably have. Justice rubbed my back. You've got the flashlight that sees into the future, but you can't always trust it. Sometimes it emits clues. And it's not destiny. It's what might happen. Remember that. I sighed heavily. I wish Lisa and her phoenix were coming with us. She'd be a big help in leading us in the right direction. Damon elbowed me playfully.
Maybe, but she's on phoenix duty. Plus, we've got you, right?
His words wiped out the frown, and my lips tipped into a smile.
No pressure there, I chuckled.
Justice's phone buzzed, and he looked down at it.
Looks like Brody, Scott, and Grady have already checked into Macduff Manor.
Damon slouched back, a leg tossed lazily over his knee, the picture of boredom.
Macduff Manor, huh? Sounds like somewhere you'd find Donald Duck hanging out, not us.
I scowled. Damon. He ignored me and sipped his coffee. Justice frowned. Macduff Manor is a safe house for the Paranormal Mercenary Corps. It's warded against evil. Hopefully their wards still work. Damon locked gazes with him.
If they don't?
Justice's cheek twitched. Then the demons and Macy could be lying in wait, ready to ambush us at any time. We need to stay on high alert.
That's comforting, Damon grumbled.
Don't despair, Justice stated. We have powerful friends in Scotland. I looked at him curiously. Like who? Justice lowered his voice, a hint of admiration in his tone. The Queen of the Court of Blossoms. She's a purple dragon and very powerful.
Damon cracked a grin. You mean like Barney? You kidding me?
Justice ignored him. The Queen is half dragon, half fey. She was my teammate, and she's a formidable ally, strong enough to take on even the likes of Macy. We didn't have Lisa, but we could have a queen who could help us with Macy and her demons. I was definitely intrigued. So, this Court of Blossoms is in Scotland? Justice rubbed his forehead, a hesitant expression crossing his face. Not exactly. The Court of Blossoms is complicated. Damon's eyes narrowed.
What does that mean, complicated? It's either in Scotland or it isn't.
Justice sighed, his gaze shifting between us. The Court of Blossoms exists in a realm that straddles the line between our world and the Fey realm. It's accessible from certain points in Scotland, but it's not a physical place you can walk into. I raised an eyebrow, intrigued by the mystery surrounding the court. So how do we reach it? Is there some kind of portal or a magical gateway? A hint of a smile played at the corner of Justice's lips. Something like that, but it's not a journey to take lightly. The path of the Court of Blossoms is guarded by ancient magic and can be treacherous for those who are unprepared.
Damon kicked back with a thoughtful look. If it means teaming up with someone as badass as the Queen, it might be a risk worth taking.
Well, I'll be damned, he mumbled as he slowly stood. Justice and I followed his gaze. Lisa hurried toward us, fear and determination flickering in her eyes. Her blonde hair was pulled into a ponytail, and she wore a loose top and a pair of jeans, but her bloodshot green eyes caught my breath in my throat. Damon caught her arms, his usual lightness a distant memory.
What are you doing here? He demanded tightly.
Tears welled in her eyes. It's Aurora and Morgan. Her voice cracked, whispering each name with love and fear. Her bond with her animals, Aurora, her mystical phoenix, and Morgan, her loyal German shepherd, was evident in the desperation of her trembling body. Damon's posture shifted, the immediate concern etching deeper lines into his already weary face.
All right, talk to us, Lisa. What happened to them?
His low voice carried command and unexpected gentleness as his protective nature bubbled to the surface. Her lower lip trembled.
I don't know. I woke up this morning, and they were both gone.
Justice furrowed his brow. I thought there was a protective barrier around the graveyard. Evil couldn't break it. She nodded.
There is a barrier. It's supposed to be impenetrable to evil forces. I can't make sense of it. Unless Macy or one of her demons figured out a way to lure them beyond its protection with a spell.
Justice rubbed the back of his neck.
If that's true, it's only a matter of time before Macy can use the power of the Phoenix to gain control over life and death.
I don't understand, Lisa, I remarked. Why are you here? She wiped her tears away.
After I searched for them in the woods and couldn't find them, I went to see Elijah.
Elijah Starweather was a powerful psychic in Mystic Vale.
He really was the genuine article and not a phony.
Damon scrubbed a hand down his face.
What did the great magician say?
She drew a quivering breath.
He had a vision that said Macy and the demons took them to Scotland. For some reason, they need Morgan too, but he couldn't see why. He gave me a warning. Macy needs to do a draining spell under the full moon at a place called Loraith Cairn.
Justice gave her a hard stare. Are you sure about that? He definitely said Loraith Cairn.
Something in his grave voice curled my stomach into a tight knot. Yes, why?
She folded her arms as if to ward off a sudden chill. Justice sighed. Because that place is a nexus of dark magic. Both people and supernaturals have vanished there, swallowed by its shadows. It's nestled in the highlands, reachable only by a treacherous path. Legend has it the druids once wielded their ancient magics there.
Lisa blurted, I don't care. I won't let anything happen to Aurora and Morgan. They're my family.
Tears spilled down her cheeks as if she'd turned on a sprinkler. I gripped her arm with reassuring firmness.
I promise we won't let anything happen to them. Lisa sniffed. Thank you.
She sought refuge in Damon's embrace, burying herself in his shirt as he wrapped his arms around her. Damon and Justice exchanged a glance before they sent me a disapproving look, a silent warning not to make promises I might not be able to keep. Chapter 2. The bustling airport was alive with the chatter of travelers and the distant hum of jet engines as the four of us boarded the plane. The stale smell of recycled air and the cramped quarters of the economy class seats did little to ease my nerves. My stomach was in knots, a tangled mess of emotions. I was nervous about taking such a long flight, my palms sweaty as I gripped the armrest. Yet, beneath the anxiety, a flicker of excitement danced in my heart at the thought of going overseas for the first time. I settled into the seat beside the window, and Justice slid in next to me. Lisa and Damon sat behind us, their laughter filling the air. As Justice's elbow brushed against mine, I caught a whiff of his spicy masculine scent, sending a rush of warmth through me. My heart raced as our shoulders slightly touched, igniting a spark of electricity between us. Justice glanced at my white knuckles gripping the armrest. He cocked his eyebrow. You're nervous about flying?
A little, I admitted with a sheepish smile.
My passport has never been stamped before. His grin widened, revealing dimples and a perfect set of teeth, including sharp fangs. Don't worry. We have an overnight flight, so you can sleep through most of it. He leaned in conspiratorially. Plus, international flights are much smoother than domestic ones. You won't even feel the turbulence. I looked at him skeptically. Promise? He released a deep, weary sigh, and his shoulders slumped. You can never trust me, can you? I heard the hurt in his voice and saw it in his dark brown eyes. My tone turned serious. That's not true. You've been there when I really needed you. I wouldn't have gotten this far without you. He shook his head, his gaze dropping to the floor. No, you'd have survived. You're a fighter, Sawyer. You would have found a way to destroy the demons. I placed my hand over his on the armrest, a wry smile tugging at my lips. Maybe. Still, it's good to have a vampire at your side, especially when demons want to use you as a pincushion. He chuckled. I guess I'm good for something. My heart raced as I looked into his intense eyes. I struggled to find the words to express how much he meant to me, but they died on my lips. My brother and Lisa had grown quiet behind us, and I felt Damon's sharp gaze burning into us. The last thing I wanted was to fight with Damon about why I shouldn't be attracted to a vampire. I knew all the reasons. Justice could be casting some dark magic to make me want him, but that wasn't it. It wasn't magic or a spell that drew me to him. It was his raw charisma and magnetism. He stirred something deep within me that no other man ever had. Or would. The stewardess stopped spewing the same boring message about protocols if the plane crashed. I never wanted to hear those messages. Thinking about smashing into the ground or crashing into the ocean left me with the urge not to ever fly. As the plane took off, I squeezed my eyes shut and clutched the armrest. The deafening roar of the engines rattled my bones, and I couldn't bring myself to even glance out the window. A soft voice whispered in my ear.
Relax, fighter. I promise I'll protect you. I opened my eyes to Justice's comforting smile, and a wave of reassurance blew over me like a warm summer breeze. I gave him a tight smile, but my body was as tense as a stretched rubber band, ready to snap at the slightest provocation. My heart raced, and my palms grew clammy as I tried to maintain my composure. He nudged me with a playful smirk. Imagine that, a badass supernatural hunter afraid of an airplane ride, he teased. I glared at him, my jaw clenching. I don't fly that often. His expression sobered and he tilted his head, studying me. Why? I hesitated, my gaze dropping to my hands. Because my dad was afraid of flying. He was also in an airplane crash when he was a kid. His gaze glazed over with shock. Really? What happened? Dad rarely talked about it. I think airplanes scared him more than vampires or even demons. It was during Christmas time, during a bad snowstorm. The plane had to make an emergency landing in Ohio and skidded off the runway. Justice drew in a sharp breath and placed a comforting hand on my forearm. I'm sorry, Sawyer. I had no idea. The plane leveled out, and I inhaled deeply, my bunched muscles slowly unraveling. Flying was never on the Grant family to-do list. We drove everywhere. His rough fingers grazed his chin as he pondered. I never would have figured that about your dad. His bravery is legendary. I chuckled. Except when it comes to flying. He turns into a whimpering wiener dog. A deep laugh rumbled from his chest. It was warm and robust, and it brought a smile to my lips. The stewardess came over to take our drink orders. What can I get for you? She wasn't looking at me, though. She was staring at Justice as if she wanted to get his autograph. I ordered a glass of red wine. Justice glanced at his watch. Starting early, aren't you? It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. I shrugged. I need something to calm my nerves. How about a movie? He looked at his phone. That might relax you for a bit. Sure, why not? You pick. I stared out the window at the expansive plains that defined this part of Colorado. The late morning sun cast long shadows over the patchwork of farmland, small towns and winding rivers stretching to the horizon. Fields of wheat and corn shifted in the breeze, their golden and green hues blending a quilt of agricultural bounty. Here and there, the silver glint of a river or reservoir mirrored the sky, a stark contrast to the earthy tones of the land. Do you like Wonder Woman? Justice's voice broke through my thoughts. I turned and frowned. Why that one? Because it reminds me of you. His dark eyes sparkled. Beautiful, but a badass. A blush crept onto my cheeks as I rolled my eyes at his cheesy compliment. I cleared my throat. Wonder Woman is fine. The stewardess came back with my wine and Justice's sparkling water. There were small screens on the backs of the seats in front of us, and the stewardess gave us earplugs so we could watch the movie without disturbing the other passengers. As the movie progressed, I relaxed, the wine and the gentle hum of the airplane engines lulling me into a sense of calm. My eyelids grew heavy, and I struggled to focus on the screen. Before I knew it, my head was nodding, and I fell back onto my seat. In a sleepy haze, I couldn't bring myself to care about propriety. I tried not to invade Justice's space, but his shoulder was so warm and solid. I finally gave in to temptation and let my head rest against him, the earplug falling out as I drifted to sleep. Through my drowsiness, I vaguely registered Justice's arm shifting, gently supporting my back as he adjusted his position to make me more comfortable. His scent, a mix of sandalwood and something uniquely him, enveloped me, and I sighed contentedly, allowing myself to be pulled into a deep, peaceful slumber. The plane jolted violently, and I woke with a start, my heart thundering, the rose tattoo on my arm burning. Danger was nearby. What's happening? I gasped, disoriented and filled with dread. Justice's seat was empty, and I looked around in a daze. To my horror, all the passengers had vanished. The eerie silence was broken only by the hum of the engines.
I immediately unbuckled my seatbelt and stood, my legs shaking. Damon? My voice was barely a whisper, fear gripping my throat. There was no answer behind me. I jumped up and looked over the back of my seat, only to discover he and Lisa were gone. The plane seemed to stretch endlessly, a hollow shell devoid of life. Soft footsteps approached me, each step echoing in the unnatural stillness. "Panicking, Sawyer?" A familiar voice purred, dripping with malice. I grimaced, my blood running cold. Slowly, I turned. Macy stood in the aisle, her brown eyes filled with hatred and a sinister gleam. The shadows around her seemed to writhe and dance as if alive. Suddenly, a deafening crack rent the air, and the plane shuddered violently. Wind screamed inside the cabin, plastering me against the window. My heart raced, and my hair whipped around me in a wild, blonde mess. I glanced up in horror as the plane's ceiling split open, revealing a swirling, inky void. Macy's long, dark hair billowed around her. She tilted her head back, her face contorting into a grotesque smile. "This is a warning, girl," she hissed, her voice reverberating through the chaos. "I will kill everyone you love, one by one, and you will be the last to die. If you want to save them, abandon this foolish quest." I raised my head high. "It sounds like you're afraid of us, Macy. We won't back down, and you know it." My small voice sounded stronger than I expected. Macy's lips curled into a cruel smile as she gestured toward the shadowy figures. "Very well, foolish one. This is the next demon you'll have to fight." Her voice dripped with malice. "They think highly of themselves and demand respect. Let's see how you fare against them." The shadows around Macy grew darker, and grotesque shapes formed within them. The air grew thick and heavy, pressing down on me like a physical weight. A foul stench filled my nostrils, a combination of sulfur and decay, making my stomach churn. The shapes within the shadows twisted and writhed, and to my horror, they took on a more defined form. Long, spindly fingers emerged, followed by gnarled hands that reached for me, their skin a shiny black with blood dripping from their long fingernails. I opened my mouth to scream, but the sound caught in my throat as the grotesque hands curled their fingers around my neck. The touch was icy cold and clammy, sending shivers down my spine. I gasped for air, but the grip tightened, cutting off my scream and my breath. The fingers dug into my flesh, and I felt bruises forming beneath their relentless pressure. Panic surged through me. My heart pounded in my ears, a deafening drumbeat that drowned out everything else. My lungs burned, desperate for oxygen, and black spots danced in my vision. As my eyes slowly closed, the last thing I heard before I passed out was Macy's cruel laughter. The chilling sound echoed in my mind, taunting me with the promise of unimaginable horrors to come. The laughter reverberated through my entire being, mixing with the pulsing pain in my head and the agonizing ache in my chest. The world around me faded away, leaving me in a void of darkness. Chapter 3. Strong hands gripped my shoulders, shaking me gently. Sawyer, wake up. Just as his voice was urgent but soothing, cutting through the haze of my nightmare, my eyes fluttered open, and I stared into Justice's concerned gaze. His brows furrowed, and his eyes searched mine for signs of distress. With a gentle touch, he brushed a stray hair off my sweat-slicked cheek. "You're having a nightmare. You're safe, I promise." His words were a comforting balm, but the lingering terror of the dream still clutched my heart, and my tattoo wouldn't stop burning. I nodded numbly, my throat tight and sore as my breath came in short, ragged gasps. I tried to speak, but no words came out.
Around us, the passengers frowned or cast curious glances in our direction, their expressions ranging from concern to annoyance at the disturbance. Damon leaned over the back of my seat, his eyes wide with worry.
"What the hell's happening? What did you do to my sister?" he demanded.
Justice glanced up at him, his hand still resting reassuringly on my shoulder.
"Nothing. She had a nightmare," he explained in a calm, measured tone.
The stewardess rushed over to us, her heels clicking on the aisle floor. "Is there a problem?" she asked in a pleasant tone, but her disapproving look suggested otherwise.
"We're fine."
Justice gripped my trembling hand. His voice was sharper than usual. She gave me a firm look.
"Please don't do it again."
Justice cast her one of his handsome smiles.
"Could you bring us a shot of whiskey and some water?"
"Of course."
She looked at him dreamily before she cast me another disapproving glare. I scowled at her as she headed back to her station, my blood boiling. Did she think I wanted to have a fucking nightmare?
"Wait, what's on your throat?"
Justice's voice was laced with concern as he gently moved my hair away from my neck, his fingers brushing my skin. I cleared my dry throat, wincing at the raw sensation.
"What?"
My voice came out strangled, as if the demons still had their fingers wrapped around me, squeezing the life from me. Justice's eyes widened, his face paling.
"You have red fingerprints around your throat. Were you strangled in your dream?"
A cold sweat broke out across my body, and I stiffened in my seat, my heart pounding against my ribs.
"I got hurt in my nightmare?"
That wasn't good. At all. My mind raced, trying to make sense of the impossible. How could a dream leave marks on my body? That had never happened to me before. I rubbed my sweaty forehead.
Shit, I feel like I just stepped out of Freddy Krueger's nightmare circus.
"Tell me what happened," Justice urged.
Damon and Lisa leaned over the back of our seats to listen. I quickly told them about the dream. The stewardess returned with a tiny bottle of whiskey, annoyance flickering in her eyes as she handed it to me. I didn't normally drink whiskey, preferring wine, beer, or vodka, but I didn't hesitate to take a shot from the small bottle. It burned my throat, the warmth spreading through my chest and belly, but it stopped me from shaking like a frightened little girl. I felt Justice's worried gaze on me, and Damon's hand rested reassuringly on my shoulder from behind. The other passengers had mostly lost interest in my little drama, returning to their books, screens, and conversations. The whiskey dulled the sharp edges of my fear, but it couldn't erase the memory of those phantom fingers around my throat, or the unsettling realization that my nightmare had somehow followed me into the waking world.
"There's one good thing about all this." Justice took the empty bottle from me.
I swallowed the water as fast as I could.
"What could possibly be good about this?"
Damon's lips twisted into a smirk, but his gaze was steel.
"Macy's scared," he stated simply. "You don't go marking people and making threats unless you're scared. Scared of what we can do, scared of losing. The Shadow Dragon has power, sure, but she's throwing everything she's got because she knows we're onto her. We're a threat."
He gave my shoulder another quick squeeze.
"And you know what we do to things that are scared and cornered? We push back harder. They make mistakes when they're scared. Macy's no different. She's desperate, which means we've got her right where we want her."
Justice nodded.
"I believe he's right."
Damon's gaze softened slightly.
"Thanks for the endorsement, Fang. Macy's damn right to be scared because she's not dealing with any old group of hunters. She's up against people who've got nothing left to lose and everything to fight for. That's us. So let's use that. Let's turn her fear against her."
His exuberant confidence failed to boost mine. He hadn't seen the hatred and determination in her dark eyes. They were almost black. Lisa gave me a sympathetic look, but she didn't say a word. The captain turned on the seatbelt sign, and the stewardess headed over to us as if she were the playground monitor, ready to scold us again. As Damon and Lisa took their seats, the stewardess slowed and checked the other passengers. I settled into my seat again, trying not to worry.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?